This is Conversations with Corliss, the podcast that features real and inspiring people who are leading their lives with purpose, passion, and confidence. Through their stories, advice, and expertise, you will be empowered with tools and insights to become the leader you are meant to be. Your host, Corliss, is a Dare to Lead trained, certified success principles coach, best-selling author, and inspirational speaker. As an entrepreneur for more than two decades, she has coached, trained, and mentored thousands to tap into their personal power and realize their potential. Through her company, Corliss Co., she will help you dream again and break through what holds you back from leading the life you want to have. Connect with her today at corliss.ca.
Hi, everyone. This is Conversations with Corliss, a real leadership podcast. Here we will talk about all the things it takes to bravely lead the life you deserve. Welcome to the conversation. You may have guessed it. My name is Corliss, and I created this podcast simply because I want to help people and make a bigger impact. You see, one day I woke up in my 40s and realized time stands still for no one. With my kids more independent, my career not as fulfilling as it once was, I found myself wondering if this was it and what was next for me. I went looking for answers to recreate my life, and I found them in having meaningful conversations with inspiring people. That's what we'll do here for you. Whatever you're looking for, I'm glad you're here. Aging has given me the invaluable insight that we should make every moment count. It's time to take charge of your life, to rise up and be all you can be. This podcast is meant to help you do that. So let's get started. Hello, friends and followers. I have a new offer for you, and just like this podcast, it's totally free. If you're looking for a way to kickstart your week, every week, I invite you to sign up for my Monday Motivation Newsletter. Every Monday, you'll get a short, powerful message to help you focus on your week ahead. Sometimes it's a personal inspirational message, and sometimes it's a practical how-to. Both will motivate you to lead your best life. Head to corliss.ca now to sign up. This is episode 077, Now or Never, Live Your Life to the Fullest with Jeanette Bouts. Let's start this episode by thinking about and contemplating two powerful questions. What are you waiting for? Why not go for what you really want? You are here for a reason, with a purpose to fulfill, and it's up to you to act on it. There's a quote that I heard I think is really appropriate to share here. It comes from Buddha. The problem is, we think we have time. Many of you are waiting, and you're letting life lead you instead of the other way around. This conversation is intended to help guide you back to what's in your heart and inspire you to act on it, because living a now or never approach to life is how you will live life to the fullest. Jeanette Bouts is an entrepreneur from a small town in Saskatchewan who grew up in a challenging environment as a child, but never let those past limiting beliefs define her future. She is a wife, mom, and Gigi, with a long list of professional successes working with not-for-profit organizations to fulfill their vision. She is strong-willed and refuses to let challenges limit her ability. At 42 and 43, Jeanette survived widowmaker heart attacks that were believed to be stress-induced. At 44, Jeanette shattered her heel, which then limited her mobility. These events motivated her to rethink how she was living her life and who she was making choices for. This was her wake-up call. And inside this conversation, she shares how she found her way forward to what she truly wanted. There are so many takeaways in her story. I am excited for you to learn from her. Jeanette is the owner of the She Can Boutique, a fashion boutique that aspires to empower women to be and feel their best, wearing clothes that make them feel confident in their bodies. She also owns Backroads Ranch, a U-pick berry and cut flower field near Middle Lake, Saskatchewan, and she's also an active member of the Bouts fourth generation grain and livestock family farm. Jeanette excels at building teams and working collaboratively with others. She is bold, she is honest and authentic, and she has the ability to bring visions to life. Well, Welcome to the show, Jeanette. How wonderful to have you here. It's really neat for us to reconnect in this way, especially in this space. I feel like I'm kind of coming home to a conversation with a long-lost friend. Welcome to Conversations with Corliss. I can't wait to share this space with you.
Thank you, Corliss. I'm so pleased to be here with you today. You're right, we do go a long way back, and always been such a pleasure to interact and work with you and chat with you. So I'm happy to be here with you today.
Yeah, well, I need an update on your life, and we're going to share this with everybody as we talk about that, because way back when you and I were connecting through my Party Light business, of course, and I got to be in your home, I got to watch your family grow up. That was the coolest thing. You got to watch me evolve in my business as I grew that business. And now we've both kind of gone in different directions. And it seems we're cut from the same cloth, as you said, before we even began, where we're like, now or never, live life to the fullest. It's kind of our motto. We're very ambitious women. So give us kind of a background as far as why you feel the message now or never, live life to the fullest, is so important, why you choose to live your life that way.
Thanks, Corliss. Well, as you know, all of us women get caught up in our husbands, our lives, our careers, our children, and we're kind of rolling at this train speed. And then for some of us, one day you get this wake up call where things that you don't think can happen to you. And so for me, I was pushing it, you know, raising my family, we farmed, I had many careers on the go, and I was feeling ill, and it went on and on. And at 42, I woke up in the middle of the night and went into the hospital and was told that I was having a widowmaker heart attack. So I was in denial as I was ambulanced off to Saskatoon. How does this happen to somebody? You know, the doctors couldn't figure it out. Young, healthy, you know, there was no signs. But in the end, the cardiologist came to the conclusion that it was A, either stress, or B, something I was born with. And so you're given that space in that moment where you start to think about, what am I doing with my life? Because we all think that we're invincible. And at 40, we don't expect these things to happen to us.
Wow, that does sound like a wake-up call. So we are so aligned, because I remember back when I was first starting my company, I remember thinking that purpose, there's the saying, purpose is an incredible alarm clock. And when I dove into what that was about, the teaching is basically that sometimes things happen in our lives that wake us up and make us question who we are, what our purpose is, what we're doing in life. So it acts like a wake-up call. So it's, you know, a job loss, a health crisis, tragedy, something happens and we wake up and go, wait, what's this really about? Like, what am I really about? What's life really about? It sounds kind of like that's what happened to you.
Exactly, Corliss. And the interesting thing is, I didn't, in my 48-hour critical period, I did not go back to regretting my past. I didn't waste any space in that typical, what did I do wrong? What I did was I used it to fuel me to say, every day is a gift. And why are we all waiting to do what we're called to do? Why are we not listening to the universe? Why are we not putting ourselves more in the front of our commitments and our priorities and our families? I learned that that's not wrong. It's okay. And to choose who you give your space to. So, you know, sometimes we extend ourselves to extended families. We take on our friends' problems or our family's problems. And my awakening was more about, we don't know we have tomorrow. And we think because we're 40 or we're 50 or we're healthy or that we have this space, and we don't. And we have to live that life of, we have now. It's now or never. So you either, you know, get on the horse and ride and do what you're called to do and let that universe support you, or you will have those regrets when you're 50, 60, 70, and you are faced with a critical illness that you can't recover from.
You've said a lot here. So let's go back to how it's okay to put yourself first in your dreams. Like, let's go back to that, because you said, I can't remember how you said it, but basically you said, it's like, it's okay. It's okay to actually care about yourself and what you really want in life. So I think a lot of us struggle with that. You know, we feel like we have all these things that we have to do. We have to fulfill our commitments. We have to be there for others. We want to please. We love and we care deeply. So we try to do that. So tell us more about that.
Well, it is my opinion that you can still do those things. But what I learned was that my body was telling me when I was giving to people or relationships that didn't feel good. So I think what I was trying to do as a caregiver and somebody who is a problem solver, I was trying to take on unnecessary issues for family or friends that didn't belong to me. So I think what a person needs to do is really, what I had to do was really prioritize. It would be okay if I followed my dream and that meant me giving a little less of myself to, say, a child or a husband. Doesn't mean I'm not going to give. It just means I'm going to shift how much I give. And I had to get a little bit of a, I don't care attitude if you like this or not. This is what I'm going to do. And it wasn't to not be there for them. It was to protect me and my space. The other thing I had to do was I had to really look at what relationships I had built that I was hanging on to that didn't suit my purpose and they didn't fulfill me. They became burdens, unfortunately, but we get this stigma that we have to support, have to do, have to hang on to a family member or a friend that really needs you. And it's okay to set boundaries and shift your energy.
I love what you said there about that you can do both. It's not like one or the other. You can actually do both. So talk about prioritizing then. So how do you put that? How do you assess your priorities? Like, how did you do that?
Well, I do believe, Corliss, that if we tune into our energetic field, right? If for me, it's like a magnet and I'm the magnet and the thing that I'm thinking about is a metal piece. And so if I feel that pull, that really strong energetic pull, like this gives me charge, this makes me alive. When I'm doing this, I'm not feeling like I'm, you know, exhausted and burning my energy on something. That's how I decide. But in the same token, I'm still the compassionate, over-supportive mother and wife that I've always been. But I have to choose me sometimes in what I want. And they might just get a little less of what I originally gave, but they still get it. It's just not in the full capacity that I once gave. So I had to shift my mind and say, I'm equally as important as what I give to them. I have to give back to me.
Did you ever have any guilt around that though? I mean, I have struggled with that in my life where it's like, I really should be doing that. You know, even when it comes to my parents, as an example, I really feel responsible for my parents. You know, they're getting older and it's like, I need to do that. And I want to, don't get me wrong, I do. But then sometimes I feel a little guilty because it's like, I really kind of want to do this over here. So that's just one example. I think we all feel some sort of level of guilt. Did you feel that?
Absolutely. I don't think there's a woman that doesn't have a component of guilt built into her. And I think for me, it was the thought of what good is the emotion of guilt? It really doesn't serve a purpose unless it's a call to action. So if I feel guilt, I try to determine, can I change what I'm feeling guilty about? Or am I just self-sabotaging myself by continuing to feel guilt over and over and over on something I'm not either changing or something that is really unnecessary to feel guilt over? Because I feel that I have to be kinder to myself to lessen those emotions of guilt and responsibility and expectation. It's kind of like the phrase where they say worrying, it gives you something to do. It's like a rocking chair, but you don't go anywhere with it. I think guilt kind of relates to that as well. It gives you something to do. It keeps your mind busy and it keeps you feeling, sort of negative about yourself, but it doesn't change anything.
Mm. I think that I love everything you've shared there. And I think the word enough keeps coming to mind, where it's like, you've done enough. You don't have to do more. You don't have to feel guilty about it. You don't have to feel bad about not doing everything that you think you should be doing in your own mind. You've done enough, you know? And even when it comes to my parents, they're always telling me, you're always there for us. You're looking out for us. It's like, it's okay. It's me that actually takes it on as if I need to do more. I think it's a part of an ambitious person who really wants to care and do their best. But just reminding myself, it's enough, right? It's enough.
We are all guilty. I haven't met a woman yet that isn't guilty of her way to punish herself for who she is, what she looks like, where she spends her time, who she gives to. Our nature is that stigma. And, you know, I think part of that is we have to surround ourselves with relationships that build us up, that support us, that allow us to forgive ourselves when we feel that we have this guilt burden or this, you know, emotion behind us. And I've really worked since my event to let relationships be natural and let go of relationships that didn't serve that kindness that I need to show myself.
I feel like this is a breath of fresh air. It's like a heart conversation. It's so lovely. I, you know, where does it even come from though? Like where do women get this from? Where it's like right from our entire age, like you said, you have never even met a woman who doesn't feel some sort of level of guilt about not doing enough or not being enough. I don't know. Where does this even come from? Why? What? Can you solve that big wonder for me?
No, I unfortunately can't. But I think it's a culture. I think that when you talk to your fellow women, you hear this over and over and over. And so then we engage in, oh my gosh, I feel that way too. And in a sense, we might be sort of feeding each other's demon in, you know, saying, oh, you're guilty. Oh, so am I. What are you guilty about? And I'm guilty about that too. And that's okay to have that space to know that someone else is experiencing what you are experiencing. But what I'm suggesting is that I know the people in my life that are around me that have levitated to me since my heart attack that are truly authentic in my life, that some have been old, some have been there forever, and some have just shown up, that what I'm really focusing is on the same kindness I give them, I try to give myself. It is about who you connect with.
You said something big there that I'm going to repeat it just so that the audience for sure grasps it. It's like you said, give other people who give you the same kindness you're working to give yourself. That's who you kind of want to have around you, right? And even though we don't want to dwell on the problem, so to speak, that we're all feeling guilty, talking about it makes us feel like we're not alone. I felt that way. And then we move through it. At the beginning of the conversation, you had said we should follow with what we feel called to do. Like, I feel called to do something. And I think women in particular, we bury that. We've had those feelings. We've thought about it. We've got these dreams and we just kind of bury it to take care of everything else and everyone else. And it stays there. It stays there. It doesn't go away. It's there. We just deny it. And then we start denying it and we start thinking about why we can't do it. Even when we get excited, oh, we should do that. You know, that's really what I want to do. And you get inspired, but then you maybe convince yourself not to because you think you can't, or it's not possible, or who are you? And all the, it gets really complicated. So tell us about how you listen to that inner voice. What do you do? How do you tap into that?
You know, I think it's a practice of awareness. It's just listen to your body. Like I know now my energetic senses, and I believe more strongly in the universe. You know, I could have died that day. I had a 1 in 3 chance of dying and I didn't. So I have to believe that the universe has my back. The other thing is when something comes to mind or somebody mentions something and I feel that magnetic instant, like burst of excitement, it's almost like an adrenaline rush. the first thing I ask myself is, instead of why not, in terms of why, you know, why shouldn't I? Why not? Why not? Don't start with the list of I can't because, you know, I have four kids or three kids. I have this going on and that going on. And we make all these excuses, and then we start to bring our ego down to a point where we don't think it's possible before we start the conversation with ourselves that the initial excitement started with. So if you get that spark of, oh my gosh, I want to do this, I feel I'm called to do this, don't ask yourself first why you shouldn't. Ask yourself first why you should, because we convince ourselves not to do things.
Oh, whoo, that's fire right there that you just said. That's so good. It's so true, because we do convince ourselves to not do it. And then if we can't really connect to, I mean, I'm always talking about, you know, ask yourself why you want to do it, why you want to. So I still think that's a good practice, but before you start convincing yourself that you can't, ask yourself, why not? Because why not? That's living to the fullest, is it not?
Well, I think so. And you know, the other thing I had to get rid of was the fear of what people thought, because Corliss, you and I know we're go-getters. We have this passion and this drive, and idea comes forward, and we're more opt to not do it than to, or to do it than not do it. So, you know, sometimes you're criticized in terms of, who does she think she is? You know, that's never going to fly. What kind of business is that? You know, and so you start to hear their voices in your head, and you want to, culturally and in a society, you want to show up as somebody who succeeds, because we're afraid to fail. But what is failure?
What is failure? That's a good question. So the people who say stuff, so I've actually been able to assess this in my own mind a few times now. When people tell me it can't be done, I immediately think they're believing it can't be done because that's what they believe. That's their limit. And I can choose to either take their limit and believe it, or I can just be like, that's their limitation. That doesn't mean it's mine. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that sometimes people, when they say those things, they are genuinely concerned. Like they, you know, they love me. So they're like, hey, Corliss, like, miss, calm down. Let's calm down. Let's bring it back. Is this realistic? You know, they're doing it out of love and concern. So it's not always, you know, a bad thing either to really like listen. But when you talk about failure and that people are afraid of that they could fail, and that's why they don't go for it, is it just a matter of reframing it in their minds that there really is no such thing as failure? Is it?
Yeah. Well, Corliss, first of all, I want to just go back to the point you just said about the validation of somebody, you know, questioning you to bring you down. To bring you down to a level of really thinking it through instead of being impulsive and then regretful. The difference there for me is that we all have that one person or that two people. So you know who your person is. For me, it's my longtime friend and assistant, Andrea. I can rely on her to question me with love and intention. But the public, you know, just people in your circle, they might question you with a different intention. So what I'm suggesting is, if we let society and the general conversation around a coffee table, when people start to question you and it creates this negative flow in your body, it changes our motivation to go forward. All I'm suggesting is that listen to those one or two people that you know are questioning you with intent for the better good of you, but don't take too much validation in a general group that maybe is coming at it more from a negative place where they're insecure about moving forward in the next step of aggressively, you know, going for something that you really want to do. In terms of failure, I don't even think that the definition of failure is as it should be, because for me, anytime something hasn't panned out, it's either led me to something better or it's taught me a really valuable lesson. And so if I didn't have that failure, I wouldn't be better in growth.
So good. Reframe that completely. Mm-hmm. You, I'm really grateful that you kind of explained that a little bit more too about the validation and where you're seeking it from. So really, we're looking to tune into our own inner knowing. and to get still to listen to that and pay attention to it energetically. And then if we want to bounce it off of someone, you know, for their perspective, you go to someone who has your best interest in mind. So that's the other part. And then thirdly, just remembering that other people are coming from their limits, like the public at large, that you can't be consulting everybody out there looking for that validation.
Yeah. And let those, you know, I let those questions inspire me, fuel me. You know, you can take that information and you can let it bring down your self-esteem and your confidence and your level of determination, or you can use that information to fuel. You know, those are good tidbits. Like, why won't I succeed? Well, if they're telling you ABC, that gives you the opportunity to prepare for ABC. I need to do, you know, this, that, and the other thing to ensure that I don't fail under those categories that they've just pointed out. So I just feel that we have to take everything in a more positive stride and not, as women, allow these things to bring us down. Let them rise us up.
Yes. So I want you to imagine that I am the woman who is feeling very stuck. I know that there's something more in my life. My career is not fulfilling me the same way that it once did. I'm feeling a little bit lost. I'm not really believing in myself. And I want to make a change badly. And I know that time is precious and I want to live my life to the fullest. And I don't know what to do. What would you say? Act like I'm her. What would you tell me to do to get started? Walk me through it.
Well, that's a tough one, Corliss, but I would say that it's now or never. There is no wrong in change. I have pivoted and shifted and changed multiple times throughout my life, and I don't regret one shift. We all end up with, you know, a lot of us have careers that I loved my job. It wasn't that I didn't like the work I was doing. It was just that I realized it was now or never. If I have a burning desire or a passion inside of me that I want to, you know, give it a shot and give it a whirl, why not now? What are we waiting for? Because unfortunately, we are all living to die. And at some point, we are going to have to face that reflection of our life and wonder, you know, did we really do what made us spark? What made us as women feel passionate and feel that we fulfilled our purpose, not the purpose of our children and our husband and our parents and our community necessarily, but what sparked us? And why are we waiting? Maybe it's baby steps as you transition out till you're really comfortable with that. But I just think, why wait? Go for it. Like, you don't know that tomorrow's coming. You just don't.
Maybe this is the listener's wake-up call. So we talked about you get a wake-up call and that's where you start to really question things. Maybe this is the wake-up call. Maybe you needed to hear this message today to wake you up. And it could be that simple. You don't have to wait for tragedy or health crisis or losing someone, something to happen. You can wake up to it right now. Who are you? What matters to you? What lights you up? What's sitting deep inside your soul that is like, I got to follow this. I've always wanted to do this. This is important to me. And how can you step into that one step at a time to boldly and bravely lead your life so that at the end of it all, when you're reflecting on your life, you can say, I left it all on the table. Is that it?
That's it. That's it. It's listen to your body. When something sparks you, you will know. Don't let the negative voices and the naysayers and the people stop you. You steamroll ahead, because I do believe with passion, you can succeed. It's never easy. There's always obstacles. But if we as women don't step into what we really, really want, we're going to find ourselves one day lost in the lives of our family and our husbands and not actually given us a shot to be who we really thrive to be.
So inspiring. So You made bold moves. Your story is very much connected to some bold moves. So you're a mother and you have a farm and you had a career that was thriving, really. Tell us about how you made a decision to make a bold move from one career to another path, and tell us about where you landed after you made those bold moves.
Yeah, so I spent a lot of years working for not-for-profit organizations with people, and I loved it. It was very fulfilling for me, but I did have a sense of my time is coming to an end. The spark wasn't quite as strong, and I just knew after my health that it was time. It was now or never. So the joke is actually that I, on top of having a couple heart attacks, I ended up falling off a combine and shattering my heel. And so I was laid up for a period of 6 months, and Andrea came over and I said to her, Andrea, I want to do a greenhouse and a strawberry farm and a U-pit flower farm. And she said, okay, because that's how she is. She's always got my back. And so now we just joke that it was the Dilaudid idea and that we shouldn't make any more ideas on Dilaudid. But, you know, it was just really feeling it. I felt it. I wanted it. And I had support, luckily, because not everybody has that. So unfortunately, I get where the women are coming from, where they want something, but they don't have someone behind them. And that's where you hire Corliss, or you hire a professional that's going to drive you and push you to do this. Because I mean, let's be honest, I didn't have full support from my family. I had resistance, and I had to be okay with pushing a little harder and saying, it's not about you, it's about me. So that's my advice to you women. If you're in a position where you want to do something and you're not getting full support from your family, that's okay. Go to someone like Corliss, who is going to help you lead your life and get you there with a really strong action plan. So today we have Backroads Ranch, and we started a collaborative event because I love collaborating, where we reached out to other businesses, and the She Can Boutique came on board. And they were looking for a partner at the time. And I was approached by one of the owners about the She Can Boutique. And it was an instant 3 second. Honestly, Corliss, my body lit up with a fire that I listened. My body said, do it. And so now we have Backroads Ranch with She Can Boutique, and She Can Boutique 2. And that's where we are today. We have an amazing team and we're doing what we love. And not only am I doing what I love, but I have a team, an amazing team that's doing what they love behind me. So I've created not only a passion for myself, but for my fellow workers too.
Oh, I can't wait. And I get to come and be a part of an event coming up with you too. It's going to be so fun.
Oh, Corliss, we can't wait to have you. On May 31st, we're having Corliss come in, because there's nobody better than Corliss to help you lead your life. That's truly coming authentically from me, because Corliss and I have a long history, and I love her energy, and I know that she has the passion to take women further. So we called on Corliss, and Corliss took the calling, and May 31st at the Middle Lake Hall, first ever She Can Boutique Thrive event, because we want women to thrive. So Corliss is going to be our keynote speaker, and she's going to share this message with you. And we've got an amazing lineup. We've got a fashion show. We've got $5,100 gifts to give away. We have fun and games. We have champagne. We have Karen Langston and Rhonda McConnell emceeing, who are the She Can founders, amazing ladies. You can't miss it. Bring your girls. You'll be fueled, you'll be fired, and you'll be ready to lead and thrive.
Oh, going to be so much fun. Everyone needs to come. Okay. So we had to mention that. It's just such an exciting thing coming up, even though it timestamps the podcast. That's okay. Come to the next one. Okay. So I did want to come back, because you actually reminded me of something. So when you were talking about other people and their thoughts. So wait, I want to come back to that, because I remember, okay, what was the story you shared about this? My daughter. Okay. So I had just divorced. So this is very much aligned with what you were sharing earlier in your story and about your family having a little bit of resistance. That's the story you were sharing. And you were talking about making a change and a bold move in your career. And when I was first getting divorced, so I was separated for a year, and I met a man who was very actively pursuing dating me, and I was not ready to date. At least I didn't feel I was. And then finally, I thought, geez, this guy's not asking you to marry him. He's just asking you to go out. It was like a year later. And I was very inspired to do so. I've actually never shared this story ever publicly. So I'm going to share this story with you. But I had got separated in January, and it was the December. So the New Year's Eve afterwards. So it was almost a complete full year. And both of my daughters had gone to house parties with their friends. And my one daughter came home at 11:45 p.m. So just before midnight. And of course, as a mom, I was like, what happened? What happened? What happened at the party? Like, why are you home before midnight? Right. And she's like, oh, it was lame. And I was like, yeah, but why didn't you wait till midnight? And she's like, oh, never mind, mom. And I kept pushing it. I was like, something's not right here. So she looked at me and she said, mom, I can't stand my mom being home alone on New Year's Eve. And I remember thinking, oh, I have to get a life, because if I don't get a life, my kids are going to feel like they've got to look after me. So that started a process of like, how do I get a life? I have no idea how to get a life. I don't have a social life anymore. All I did was work, take care of my home and my family. And I have no idea how to even start over here. So a girlfriend suggested to me that I go and I volunteer. She said, if you go and you volunteer, then maybe you'll start, you know, meeting different people, like not for dating purposes, just literally to get out into the world without going into a bar scene or something like that, which I totally was not at all interested in. So I went to my very first volunteer event, and that's actually where I met my partner. And he asked me out on a date, and I was like, no, I can't. I'm not ready. My family's not ready. I'm not doing it. And then finally, I decided one day, he's not asking you to marry him. He's asking you to go out on a date, go on a date. So I told my children, I told my daughters I was going to go on this date. And my one daughter was so upset. She was like, mom, you can't, you just got out of this relationship. Now you're going into another one. And she was so upset, so much resistance. And I remember looking at her thinking, it's my mistake. I was asking her permission. And really, I don't need to ask her permission to take care of myself and what I need. And I knew that I needed to start moving forward with my life, independent of my children or a relationship. So I looked at her and I saw it so clearly. And I said to her, sweetheart, I understand your concern, but my happiness matters too. And she really sat with that. She was such a mature 16-year-old. And she sat with that and she said, you're right, mom, but just be careful, okay? So the reason I share that is because there is women who are listening to this who are like scared to put themselves first and scared to put their own happiness first and worried about looking for other people's approval. And sometimes you have to just remove it all and think about what's going to make you happy and what you need.
100%, Corliss. My mom gave me the best piece of advice back when my children were little and I was traveling across Canada as a manager of a not-for-profit organization. And I was having feelings of guilt. And I remember my mom saying to me, Jeanette, it is okay to build your own career, to find out who you are, because eventually the kids are going to move on. They're not going to need you, and you will end up depressed and lonely, and you won't know who you are, and you won't have a purpose. And all you'll be is a human at 40 or 50 trying to figure out, now what? Who am I? Now what do I do? So you're absolutely right, Corliss. We always think we have to put someone else first, and we have to do something for someone else first, that we lose ourselves. And it's wrong, because our kids someday won't need us like they needed us then, or, you know, even now.
That's so true. And actually, when you say the now what, that is exactly where I landed. Mm-hmm. I lived up until my 40th year, actually up until about my 45th year, I was living 100% completely for everyone else's joy and everyone else's happiness. And it's not that I didn't have my own, that actually made me happy, but I never thought of myself independent of that. And so then when my divorce happened and my kids started growing up, I was literally left with like, now what? Like, I have no idea who I am or what I'm going to do. So if you are that person that lived your life like I did right up to that stage, and you're listening to this going, dang, I did do that, exactly what Corliss did, I want to inspire you to realize it's never too late. I started over. As a matter of fact, in that 40th year when everything kind of fell apart, it was an opportunity for me to say, okay, if my kids are independent, that means I have more time. If I'm getting divorced, it means I don't have to consult anyone else on my decisions. I'm in the middle stage of life, hopefully I am, that, you know, that I actually have another half of my life to live yet. What do I want this to look like? What's really matters to me? Go back to the drawing board and dig deep inside of you. What do I really want? Start dreaming again. Give yourself permission to do that. And it became an opportunity for me to actually refine myself and to reinvent it completely from this starting point. And here's the best part. You're taking all of the skills, all of the experiences, everything that you have to this point, you're taking it with you. You know now what you wished you knew then. So take that and use it to your advantage. You can start right now, right where you're at. It's totally okay.
Corliss, have you never said to yourself, why didn't I do this 10 years ago?
I
find myself going, why didn't I do this, you know, 5 or 10 years ago? Like, why? I don't think there is ever a regret in it. I think it's just get it started. Get it started. It's like I said, how many times? It's now or never. And I know that feels so urgent, but to me, it really, my decisions are like, boom, it's now or never. Yes or no. If I have to overthink this, I'm in the wrong part of the universe. You know, once you decide yes, then you slow it down and go, okay, now how do I get there? And what do I have to do? But I let that first reaction be the go card.
There's that saying, jump and the net will appear. I don't know how many times I've done that. It's like, I have no idea how this is going to work out. I have a feeling you're going to say that you're the same. It's like, I don't know how this is going to work, but I'm going to jump and something's going to appear that's going to help me catch me if I fall, or help me bounce like a trampoline. It's going to be one or the other. The net will appear. And it always has. It always has. The bold are rewarded. They really are. So yeah. Be bold, be brave, go for it, and live it to the fullest so that somewhere at the end of your life, you're able to look back and go, I did it. I did everything that I was here to do. I fulfilled who I am and what my purpose was in this world. I just really need to tell you how beautifully awesome it is to connect with you again. Our journeys, it's like our path went something like we were on the same path, and then it kind of went out, and then it's just kind of coming back together. And you guys, I need to tell you something about Jeanette. When you said, I always talk about the power of words and the power of somebody believing in you. And I remember being at an event, and it was, you know, years later when I was just starting my company, and you were texting me, we were both at the same event, and you were texting me saying, you should be the speaker up there. Because you do way better. We were both listening to the same speaker at this one particular event. We won't say which event, doesn't matter. And I remember thinking, she's right. I'm a good speaker. I should be up there speaking, and I should pursue that. So I want to thank you for believing in me, and for even a little message like that. I remember it years later, just a little simple text message of somebody saying, you're awesome and you're good at that. And maybe you should look at that. I listened to it, Jeanette, just so you know, you inspired it, because I'm a speaker now.
I'm glad to be a part of that. But Corliss, you always had it within you, and you didn't really need me to push you. But what I think is so great about that is when you decide what you want to do and you go for it, it is amazing the friends you make, the people that you never knew, you didn't think you'd ever connect with, that all of a sudden there's this, again, magnetic force where your bubble, you get this surrounding of people. Like, so if you're thinking about, should I do this? I don't know if I have a support around me. That support will find you. It just does.
Totally.
So Corliss, I've always believed in you. I've always loved your energy. And you know me, I say it like it is. So there's nothing to hold back.
So true. So listen, there's three closing questions I ask all of my guests. And if I didn't ask you, the listeners would be like, what? Where's the questions? So tell us about a book that was a game changer for you. One that you really want to recommend.
I don't read books.
You don't? Where do you get your inspiration from?
People. I get my inspiration from people I meet, from people I watch on social media that I love what they're doing. That's where my inspo comes from. To sit down and read, I can't say I've ever finished a book.
Wow. Oh, there's lots of books I haven't finished either. So you really get the inspiration from stories of real life people. Yes. And you watch it through social more than anything.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So the second question is because I called this a real leadership podcast, I might evolve that, but to preface it, kind of what that's about is that leadership is about influence. And if you look it up in the dictionary, lead actually means an initiative and an action to follow. So that's what it means. So it's no longer about title or role. It's about influence. And we have to make choices about what kind of influence we want to be. So that's where kind of the tagline of the podcast came from. So if I were to say to you, what does leadership mean to you? What would you say? How would you answer that question?
To me, leadership is more about community. Leadership is about somebody with a passion, naturally creating a community of people who help you rise. That to me is leadership. Leadership is about helping each other be the best they can be. And like I said, when you start a company or you do something different, it is amazing the people that come to you as you lead that become part of your leaders with you.
Wowzers. Do you know that tagline is actually on my website right now, on my profile picture, my banner picture, be the best you can be. And you just said that. You probably didn't even know, but such alignment here. It's so amazing. I love it. Okay. So the very final question is based on all of the highs and all of the lows and everything that you've gone through in your life. If you could leave just one really valuable piece of advice, what would you want to leave behind?
Don't dwell on the past. Mm. You can't change it. I have walked through fires that people will break down, will become victims to. My best piece of advice is the past is in the past for a reason. It doesn't define your future. Take it and let it fuel you to be better, have better, strive, and make a life. If you don't have a happy life now, you can make it a happy life. Don't look back.
Amazing. What a beautiful power thought. Thank you so much again, Jeanette. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, thank you for having me, Corliss, and I look forward to seeing you on May 31st.
Yes, just a few weeks away. We'll see you then.
Yeah, take care.
If you enjoyed this episode and it brought you value, make sure and share it with a friend or screenshot it and post it to your Instagram story or Facebook, tagging me at Corliss Co. I know the most precious of all commodities is your time, and I want to thank you all very much for spending this time with me today. Remember, you have the power to lead. Know your worth, embrace your value, see you have purpose, and be the leader you are meant to be.